Reading this morning from Pastor Shiva, lesson 38. Who are our holy men and women? Sadhism has many holy men and women. All are great devotees of Shiva, Murugan, and Ganesha. We honor living holy ones on their birthday or Jayanti. Those who have left this earth we revere on the day of their passing, or Mahasamadhi, their new birthday. Saints reflect the peace, humility, and purity of the God life. Sages are great souls who may outwardly appear ordinary. Sadhgurus are enlightened beings who guide others on the path. Holy men and women, married people, as well as gurus, sadhus, and swamis, have stood strong for Sadhism at critical times throughout history. Many traveled widely and spread Sadhvi culture and knowledge to new areas. Some were solitary mystics, meditating and performing yoga. Some wrote scriptures or composed beautiful songs to God that we sing today. Our lineage began over 2,000 years ago with Maharishi Nandinada, a yoga master from Kashmir. His disciple, Sundarananda, later known as Rishi Tirumular, traveled by foot to South India to teach Sadhism. Our many gurus followed him. Other Sadhvi traditions include that of Matsendranada and his disciple, Gorakshananda, who expounded Hatha Yoga and spread Nada Sadhvi through central India and Nepal. The many women saints include the austere yogini Karika Amayar and the beloved Saint Avayar, whose poems children study to learn religion and good conduct. Among the most famous Tamil Sadhvi saints are the Nalvars, who kept Sadhvism strong in Tamil Nadu 12 centuries ago. And we have our quote from Gurudeva. Though it may not be your dharma to formally renounce the world, you can benefit your search immensely by knowing how the great ones seek to live and respond to life. You can find ways in the midst of your life to follow their example. Very good. I think one of the aspects of who are our holy men and women is the great diversity of who the holy men and women are. They're not exactly all in the same mold. It talks about, so some are married, some are unmarried, some are men, some are women. And they wrote a great deal of different types of literature and even had different outer appearances. And that's one of the qualities, again, of the diversity is the text says we have saints, sages, and sadhgurus. Well, saints is someone who looks like your typical saint, very saintly looking person, but we can have great holy men who aren't easily recognizable. And those are called sages. Jalapa Swami was definitely a sage. Had a reputation for being mad, fooled everyone except a few. His way of having privacy. And in that time, you didn't have a house with a door that locked. You know, people would just go in wherever you are, even Yogaswami. The way he kept people away is sometimes he'd throw stones at them. Of course, he'd miss. Yell at them, that was his door, you know, because people would just come in. So, Telepaswami had the door of apparent madness. So that kept a lot of people away. Also, he was cold. From a distance, he would scold people. So You have to be very sincere to approach someone like that. And then the Satguru is someone who is obviously teaching, as we talked about, teaching about Sat, teaching about the truth within you. As you know, we produced a book on character building workbook to help individuals improve their character by defining clearly the different character qualities that are important and giving examples of each, and then gives an assignment that you can use to practice it. So I thought it would be useful in presenting this book to traditional Tomo temple groups to talk about Abhayar's works. So we took a look at Abhayar's works, and Bhakti Chuti and Kondare Vendan are the two that are for children that we looked at, and the translations weren't quite up to standard, so with the help of one of our members, we got better English rendering. Oh, they're very interesting in that it's a combination of learning a language and learning good conduct at the same time. When you think about learning English, you know, the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, I'm sure you don't remember learning good conduct when you learned A, B, C, D, E, right? It wasn't built into the study, but in this case, the alphabet, which starts with the vowels, is learned, but you're learning good conduct as well. So, Bhakti Chuti, the vowels, of course, in Tamil, the vowels. So, is aram, aram seya virumbu, desire to fulfill dharma. One thing I like about Bhakti Chuti is the Tamil is so short I can actually read it. Two or three words, that's for me. Second one, Arubadu Sina, cool off anger. So people got angry then too. Human nature doesn't change. So it's very practical statements, and I like the second one too, Kondare Vendan, it starts the same way. It's got four words, so more challenging. Anayun Pittavum Munari Deva. Father and mother are one's first known God. It's very nice, father and mother. Second one, Longe Alayam Doluvadu Salavum Nanduru. Temple worship is immensely good. So we get the temple in there and learning the alphabet. So it shows how the two aren't separate. Secular learning and religion aren't necessarily separate. It's kind of a modern phenomena where we've had to separate them. Separation of church and state. So the public schools are state, so they separate in the U.S. the religion. But in the old system, you can see learning Tamil alphabet, you're learning all the basic virtues as well, and learning the key terms about dharma, which is autumn, and the temple, alayam. Then there's another work by Abhayar. Some say it's a different Abhayar, but we didn't take any position on that in our own writing. We just said some people say that the Vinayaka Ahaval is written by someone else, the same name. But it's a very interesting scripture and gives an interesting insight into the holy men and women of our Saivite tradition. As you know, we talk a lot about monistic theism. And very common in Gurudeva's writings. And We talk about it because most traditions are either monistic or theistic. They're not both. But our tradition is monistic theism. It has both. Or you could say theistic monism. Turn it around. Well, what does that mean? Well, the poem shows in a beautiful way. What it means is that our theism influences our monism. What does that mean? It means we're expressing devotion to the deity, seeking the blessings of the deity, and when we get the blessings of the deity, sometimes that can cause inner awakenings or monism, cause us to be aware of our inner self. So that's what the poem has as a constant theme, so I thought I'd read it, it's not too long. Cool, fragrant lotus feet, with anklets tinkling sweet, gold girdle, flower soft garment, setting off the comely hips, pot belly and big heavy tusk. Elephant face with the bright red mark, five hands, the gold, the noose, blue body dwelling in the heart, pendulous jaws, four mighty shoulders, three eyes, and the three required marks. Two ears, the golden crown gleaming, the breast aglow with a triple thread. O being bright and beautiful, wish-yielding elephant, born of the master of mystery and Mount Kailas, Mouse Rider, fond of the three famed fruits, desiring to make me yours this instant, you like a mother have appeared before me and cut the delusion of unending births. So you probably didn't expect that if you didn't know it was coming. It sounds so just generally poetic, but Ganesha appeared and like a mother cut the delusion of unending births. So that's starting to get into the mystical part. You have come and entered my heart, imprinting clear the five prime letters, set foot in the world in the form of a guru, declared the final truth is this, gladly, graciously shown the way of life unfading, with that unfailing weapon, your glance. You have put an end to my heinous sins, poured in my ear uncloying precepts. They bear for me the clarity of ever-fresh awareness. Sweetly given me your sweet grace, for firm control of the senses five, taught how to still the organs of action, snap my twofold karma and dispel my darkness, giving out of grace a place for me in all four states. Dissolve the illusion of triple filth, taught me how to shut the five sense gates of the nine-door temple, fix me firm in the six yogic centers, stilled my speech, taught me the writ of Ida and Pingala, show me at last the head of Shushumna, to the tongue of the serpent that sinks and soars, you have brought the force sustaining the three bright spheres of sun, moon, and fire, the mantra unspoken asleep in the snake, and explicitly uttered it. Impart the skill of raising by breath the raging flame of imparted the skill of raising by breath the raging flame of Muladhara, explained the secret of immortality, the sun's movement and the charm of the moon, the water lily's friend, the 16 states of the Prasada mantra, revealed to me in thoughtful wisdom the six-faced form and the meanings for, disclosed to me the subtle body and the eight separate modes of being, the orifice of Brahman opened, giving me miraculous powers by your sweet grace, and mukti too, revealed myself to me, and by your grace swept away accumulated karma, stilled my mind in tranquil calm, beyond speech and thought, clarified my intellect, plunged me in bliss, which is the common ground of light and darkness. Boundless beatitude you have given me, ended all affliction, shown the way of grace. Shiva eternal at the core of sound, Shiva linga within the heart, Adam within Adam, vast beyond all vastness, sweetness hid in the hardened mode, You have steadied me clear in human form, all besmeared with holy ashes, added me to the congregation of your servants true and trusty, made me experience in my heart the inmost meaning of the five letters, restored my real state to me, and rule me now, O Master of Wisdom, Vinayaka. Your feet alone, O Master of Wisdom, Vinayaka, your feet alone are my sole refuge. Beautiful poem, huh? Really, monistic theism to me. I think it shows beautifully how the grace of the deity catalyzes inner unfoldment in our tradition. Gurudeva stresses that when he talks about Lord Murugan. He says about Lord Murugan's grace, the kundalini doesn't really become active, so meditation doesn't take you that deeply, that you need the grace of Lord Murugan to meditate. So that's how the theism is needed for the monism to work. So thank you very much. Om Namah Shivaya.